Blog Talk Radio.
You know, it's funny sometimes how so many mistakes seem to get across to people, to a country that is so far advanced in the world. You know, we seem to be able to do everything but get along. There's even a bit of humor in it when you think of such people as Agnew. Here's something that may sort of break it down to you.
Times 10 would surely then put our
Just something to put on your mind.
Good evening, and welcome to Catharsis. Please join our host, Ebony Zudia. Ebony?
Peace and greetings, family, and thank you for joining us on Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. We have a special, very, very special guest this evening, and this is a very special show this evening. That's why it's starting at 10 o'clock tonight. Hopefully everybody will stay with us that are listening. Our special guest this evening is the beautiful and very, very beautiful spirit. This sister, even meeting her in person, she's just beautiful. The beautiful and a true revolutionary of a woman, Ramona Africa of MOVE. On May 13th, 1985, Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on the MOVE family and organization, killing 11 men, women, and children. I mean, out of the 11 entities were children. They burned down the whole neighborhood. Excuse me, family. Our sister will be joining us in a few minutes to discuss the upcoming 30-year commemoration of the bombing on the MOVE organization in Philadelphia. We will be back with Ramona Africa in a few minutes. Please take this time to relax and listen to the tune. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother,
what's up? Hey, how you doing?
Man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop.
Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need delay. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Everybody
Oh, hear me now? Gonna, won't you hear me now? Gonna, won't you hear me now?
Peace, family. We are back. Thank you again for tuning into the Catharsis on Is That Jazz?
Ebony? Ebony?
Yes.
We have Ramona Africa on the line. I'm bringing her on.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. And Ramona Africa is also. Good evening, sisters.
All right. On
Miss Ramona?
Yes. I'm here.
Peace, Sister Ramona.
On the move, Ebony.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a busy day, but I'll end it with this, which is a good thing.
Yes, ma'am. And we thank you and appreciate you for coming on with your busy schedule and, I know, promoting and, you know, doing a lot for the organization as far as the 30-year commemoration program, the ceremony is coming up. And I just wanted to let you know, I enjoyed meeting you yesterday. You are a beautiful spirit, and I can't wait to build with you some more. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. And you're a wonderful sister, too. I can tell you're willing and ready to work to do what's necessary, and you're not intimidated, I can tell.
Yes, ma'am. I try not to be. No fear, right?
Right. Yeah.
So for those who may not be familiar with the MOVE organization or yourself, Ramona Africa, can you give us, those that are listening that may not be familiar, a bio of the MOVE organization?
Okay. The MOVE organization was founded back in the early 1970s, like 1971, by a black man called John Africa. And John Africa brought people together from all different races, economic, social backgrounds, just from different aspects of this system. And John Africa cemented the bond of family with the people that he brought together by giving us one simple, common belief, and that belief is in the all importance of life. You know, life being not a priority, but the priority, and nothing is more important than life. And when I say life, I'm talking about what's real. I'm talking about all life without categories. Human life, animal life, plant life, the air, the water, the soil that feeds us, the sun that warms us, you know, all life. Nothing is more important than life. The system convinces people, confuses people into believing that there are things more important than life, like money, jewels, a certain kind of car, certain kind of house, fashion, you know, certain kinds of clothes, etc. But when you get down to it, John Africa has shown us clearly that people do have to come to grips with life being important. John Africa gave us an example. He said, if you take a person, the richest person you know, and sit them in the desert for 3 days, 4 days with no water, and at the end of that fourth day, you go out there and you sit water in front of that person or a stack of $1,000 bills, that person is going to go for that water. Because at that point, it is crystal clear to the person what's really important, what you can't do without, and what you can do with, you know, do without. So that's what MOVE represents, life. And because of our commitment to life, we have been put in direct conflict with this system that we live under, which doesn't give a damn about life at all. Their God is money, is, you know, social aspirations, you know, going from city council person to mayor to governor to U.S. congressman, senator to president, you know. That's what they believe in. That's what they believe in, those that run this system. And that's in direct conflict with what MOVE believes in. So they feel threatened by MOVE. And that is the root of why they have come at MOVE over the years the way they have. It's the root of why they, you know, have killed our babies, have beat pregnant women into miscarriage, have beat our brothers, have bombed us and burned MOVE people alive. You know, that should really show people that there is something serious happening with John Africa's MOVE organization, because officials of this system, they use the news media to tell people, oh, MOVE, all they do is curse and they're nasty, dirty people. And I mean, they say this stuff as if that, if it were true, would justify what they have, you know, done to MOVE, what they have come at us with. It doesn't. It doesn't. But it should tell people something, because you have homeless people out there that go around cursing to themselves and other people. They, because they are homeless and people are so prejudiced against them that they don't have a place to go and wash up or shower or whatever. So sometimes they're dirty, oftentimes they're dirty. But do they drop a bomb on them? No, because using profanity, as they call it, or being dirty, they're not threatened by that. They are not threatened by that. So that should tell people that there is something else happening here with MOVE. Not what they're saying, but something serious, you know. And it is. It is our commitment to life that's a threat to everything those running this system believe in, you know. Because when you believe in money, you will compromise the air that you need to breathe, you know, clean, healthy air. You will compromise that for air pollution, for money, for a paycheck from industry, you know. You will compromise pure, clean water for pollution in the water, for money from industry. You will hunt down living beings, animals, like elephants, just to get their tusk to make money, you know, make money from selling their ivory tusk. You know, you will do these things because life means nothing to you. And this is what John Africa opened our eyes to, made us see it very clearly, and put us on the path of turning things around by just setting a strong, uncompromising example to expose and confront and work to put an end to the system that's the root of all those things I just spoke about. So that's who MOVE is. That's the work we've been doing for the last, what, little over 40 years now. And we're committed to it. You know, we have spent years and years and years in prison you know, unjustly, but we will not compromise our belief in life. We won't do it.
It's funny how they, on some of the commercials or news broadcastings that they had when the bombing went down, they failed to talk about the good things that were going on with MOVE. Can you tell us some of the positive things that the MOVE organization were doing? Like, we mentioned yesterday at our interview, growing of the food, the raw foods, like how they're implementing the raw foods and everything now, but y'all was doing it back in the 70s.
Yeah. One thing that is always amazing to me is there are some core items or characteristics of our belief. From the very beginning, John Africa taught MOVE people, MOVE women, to have our babies naturally at home without paying thousands of dollars, you know, to hospitals, to have a baby do something as natural as have a baby, something that no other species of life does. By that I mean no other species of life spends thousands of dollars going to a hospital to have a baby. John Africa encouraged us and coordinated us to eat raw food, you know, raw garlic, raw roots like potatoes and raw vegetables and raw nuts like raw peanuts, etc. And people went crazy. They said, you know, you're going to get sick eating raw food like that. You're going to make your children sick. You got to cook your food. And I mean, they went crazy. But today, you have raw food restaurants all over this country, from the West Coast to the East Coast. You know, raw food is the thing now. Garlic is a wonder food. When we were criticized and ostracized for eating garlic, and people said we stink, what's that smell? Ew, you know? And it was garlic. But today, the system acknowledges garlic as a wonder food, you know. We homeschooled our children. John Africa taught us from the very beginning not to turn our children over to our clearly our enemy, to so-called educate. Educate them to what? Educate them how, you know. Educate them to be robots and slaves for the system and never ever think about, you know, fighting back. No, we're not going to let them get their hands on our children and make them slaves and robots to this system. You know, we're not going to do that. And today, homeschooling, I mean, it's all the rage. A lot of people homeschool their children. And in fact, when MOVE was being criticized for homeschooling our kids, people with money and celebrities were homeschooling their kids. They weren't sending them to public schools. They had tutors for them, you know. They were taught while they were traveling, you know. I mean, but MOVE was criticized for it. We were what they call composting today. We were doing that back in the early 70s. And when we broke up the cement over the earth around our home and started, you know, feeding the earth with fruit seeds and eggshells, you know, feeding the earth that feeds us, keeping it fertile and productive. People said we were nasty and dirty and throwing garbage in the backyard, and how could they? Now they put a cute little word called composting on it, and it's all the rage. I mean, it's what you should do. People will actually ask for money to get your compost, your, you know, eggshells and banana peelings, and what they said we were doing was garbage, you know, throwing garbage in the backyard. Now people will charge you to get your garbage, you know.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. But John Africa's point is made, because when you are right, you don't ever have to compromise. And finally, ultimately, those that are wrong, that are criticizing you, will have to come your way. You see, because 1,000 lies can't stand up to one truth, to the single truth. And those running this system have been pushing the lie ever since this system. And, you know, like I said, 1,000 lies can't stand up to the single truth. So, I mean, it's obvious that they are going to have to come our way, the way of truth and righteousness. They can resist as long and as hard as they want, but finally, they're going to have to come the right way. Yeah.
Like I mentioned to you, like I mentioned yesterday, you know, the system is not even designed for us. It was never designed for us, so we can't even really be mad at the system. But I know John Africa taught y'all the principles of self-defense, so we need to defend ourselves against the system. How do we do that? And what were the principles of self-defense that John Africa instilled in you guys in the Move family?
Well, the first thing that anybody who calls themselves a revolutionary or who wants to embark on the path of becoming a revolutionary has to do is stop believing in this system. Understand that nothing about it is right. And as you said, it's not designed for us, but it's not designed for anybody, not even the people that are pushing it. It's not
right.
Working for them either, because they're poisoning the air they gotta breathe. They come down with the same cancer from polluting the environment that poor people do, you know? So it doesn't work for them either. But in order to fight this system and defend ourselves against this system, you have to first truly, and I mean truly, acknowledge that it's wrong, it's not working, and let it go. Let it go. You cannot hallucinate that this system is working and is good and want this system by wanting its money, its jewels, its fashion, its standards of superiority and inferiority and all of that. You can't do that and be a revolutionary. So that's the hard work. That is the hard work, and it's the root, the very foundation of defending yourself, because you can't defend yourself against something that you think is good, something that you feel like you want and need. You know, how you going to defend yourself against that? You're going to want it. You ain't going to fight against it. You're going to fight for it, fight to get it, you know? So that's the beginning. That is the beginning. And it is the hardest yet most important part of this system. I mean, Move people have been working for over 40 years in the MOVE organization and incorporating MOVE belief in us, in our lives. And we're still working. We are still working because we were born in the system, raised in the system. Most of us came into MOVE at like 23, 24 years old. And by that time, you know, we had taken on so many aspects of the system that we have to work very hard to rid ourselves of those things. I mean, my mother was a beautician by trade. She's retired now, but she was a beautician. So from the time I was very, very young, she was washing my hair, straightening it with a hot comb, and, you know, styling it and instilling in me that this is what you're supposed to do as you get older. You know, you take care of your hair, you make sure it looks a certain way. I had to rid myself of that training in order to stop combing my hair and let it lock. And my mother didn't understand that at all. You know, she did not understand that at all. She thought I had lost my mind, you know. But this is what I mean by you have to work to drop the training of this system, because our hair will naturally do what Mother Nature has coordinated it to do when you leave it alone. Combs didn't come from Mother Nature or from God. Combs are an invention of man. Those relaxers and permanents and all that stuff, that didn't come from God. That came from humans, from man, you know? So when you look at what God has coordinated, when you leave things alone and let them manifest itself as God intended, you will see what's right and what's wrong, you know? So that's the root of revolution. And we have all kinds of training in us to overcome, to start moving in the right direction, to really become a revolutionary and to be able to defend ourselves against the imposition and oppression of this system. Because you can't have it both ways. You cannot believe in it and fight against it. That's impossible. That's impossible. And too many people still believe in this system. They will complain about certain things, but they're not ready to let it go. They still want to hold on to it, you know, because of money or fashion or things that they gravitate to, you know.
Yeah, we're just way too comfortable. Like, we're just way too comfortable. We have to be really shooken up enough for us to get uncomfortable and start to commit revolutionary acts.
Family, we are
with the beautiful Ramona Africa, one of the survivors of the MOVE organization. We will be back with our sister in a moment. But family, if you have any questions or you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening online, you can dial 914-338-0044. We will be back with our sister, Mona Africa, in a moment.
When he asked me, if I had something to say to the world,
Lived on the scale, had my mind in a twirl, and realized I was carrying the weight of the world. Who else would bear the burden, give the shirt on their back, rejuvenate the streets and rehabilitate rap? You see these minds are strapped, and I can see where they at. Living in these fantasies that's about to collapse. I see a breach in their heart when I reach in their heart and grab them before more ignorance starts to kill on communities, rain our true abilities, frame them. The picture's the same, most of y'all feeling me, the rest of y'all not, cause you're missing the point, trying to blow up the spot and fill a slot of a new age slave. It's a shame how our people behave, got our roots turning over in graves, gotta walk on the path that they pave. I'm not the first or the last of the brave to break chains.
I want to get free and ease my mind, but I just can't get away. And come to think about it, I want to get free and ease my mind, but we gotta find a better way.
Yo, what up, kinfolk? How you been, low? Seem like the world going all up in smoke. I can't complain, I maintain. I'm making moves, I gotta get paid. No one I'm talking about, I'm about it. Yep, your boy's about it. I got it together, now I'm hot, so don't doubt it. Shut down all the clowns when I shout it. Shout, shout, let it all out. It's the F-A-T, bitch, ask about it. Know what I'm saying? Cause Omni's mashing, Trey be mashing, Sierra singing on the hook with that passion like. Yeah, you know sometimes when you're surrounded around a lot of haters, a lot of negativity. Gotta get away from the negativity. Can't nobody let nobody stomp your light out, stop your shine, take away your beauty.
We're gonna think about it. I want to get free and ease my mind, but I just can't get away. And come to think about it.
The way you separate yourself from the rest is so fresh, and yes, you give them all something to talk about. They all need something to talk about, might as well be you. The people want to see what you all about, and see if you're going to give it your all amount. That's all that counts. I wonder how it feels to be you. 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 I wonder how it feels.
Don't think about it. I want to get free and ease my mind.
Family, we are back with Ramona Africa of Move Family. She's dropping so much knowledge and insight. I hope y'all listening and paying attention to what the sister is saying. If you have any questions or you want to just join the conversation, you want to show Sister Ramona some love, please call in 914-338-0044 or press 1 so Tracy can pull you into the conversation. Tracy, do we have any callers on the line yet?
None that have expressed the interest in asking a question, so I'm monitoring it right now. I guess we really want the information that Ms. Ramona is going to provide, so we'll probably open up the question towards the open up our phone lines towards the end of the show. Okay?
All right, thank you. And if you wanted to say anything before we finish our conversation, you can go ahead and make your statement.
Ms. Ramona, the whole Move movement was closely tied to my father's career. And I just remember him, releasing letters that were written to him during the first Move confrontation and also the second. and about how you how MOVE members were being mistreated in the prison system, and how eventually in 1995 he suffered the repercussions of all that when, like you say, the system falsely accused him of something. So because I'm his son and it means so much to speak to you, can you tell me a little bit about the experience that you had with my father, and was he really the ally that he led me to believe as I was growing up?
Yes, he was. He was definitely an ally. I mean, he always did what he could in support of us. What I remember most, because I came to MOVE in like 1979. It was after the first police attack on MOVE after Rizzo. And MOVE people were in prison, and he issued court orders for MOVE people to be able to get the raw food that we were used to eating. And I would go into his courtroom and let him know that we needed a court order, you know, to take this food or that food in. He would issue the court order without hesitation. And if the prison gave us any trouble at all, he stepped in. He stepped in. And we always appreciated that. We always appreciated that. He definitely supported us, did what he could, you know, to help us, yes.
You know, that's one of the things I'm most proud about his career was just, you know, he never lost his connection to, you know, the folks in Philadelphia and more particularly Mantua, but we call it the bottom. I have one other question, ma'am, and then I'll let Ebony and you guys continue. I remember well when that helicopter came over and dropped what looked like a little chemical weapon, and then they watched the whole neighborhood burn down. Can you put that under the context of what we just saw in Baltimore, what we saw, I guess, in 1992 in L.A.? Can you kind of explain what your thoughts are and what you're seeing now based on what you actually lived through, ma'am?
Absolutely. You know, when the police attacked MOVE in 1985, it wasn't the first time. It was the most intense and most horrific, but cops have been coming after MOVE ever since MOVE. And we understood very clearly that it wasn't and is not just MOVE. It's not. I mean, war has been waged on us. But the thing is, in 1985, when these officials went so far as to drop a bomb and literally burn babies, move babies alive. And while people were outraged, while most people did not agree with what happened or how it happened, they did not turn that outrage into action that would clearly let these officials know that this was not acceptable, that this, you know, was not something that the people were going to allow to happen ever again. And because of that, because people did not see, you know, a clear demonstration of outrage from the people, why wouldn't these officials, these cops, if they could drop a bomb and burn babies alive, why wouldn't they feel like they can shoot people down in the street, choke people to death, you know, and get away with it, have no repercussions, you know? In 1978, when the Rizzo administration attack MOVE, people took to the streets, black, white, young, old, people took to the streets, marched on City Hall, was yelling, 4 more years, hell no, Madman Rizzo's got to go. And Rizzo was pushing a charter change because the Philadelphia charter, city charter, says that a person can only run for mayor 2 consecutive terms. That's it. Rizzo wanted to run for a third term. People soundly defeated his push for a charter change after that, you know, attack on move. But in 85, even though no move people were killed in 78, I have to, you know, make that clear, no move people were killed in 78. In 85, when a bomb was dropped and innocent move people were burned alive, people didn't march on City Hall. They didn't come at Wilson Good like he should have been come at. And that's because Rizzo was white. He was a racist, a brutal cop that became a brutal police commissioner who became a racist, brutal mayor. In 85, even though move people were killed and people were outraged about it, they backed off of Wilson Good by saying, we have to support our first black mayor. What about supporting those black babies that was murdered, you know? But that's the confusion that was running rampant in people's heads about Wilson Good and why they should not, you know, really raise hell about what happened.
It almost sounds like
reason,
it was.
It's the reason that you have, or a big part of the reason that you have this epidemic of cops just shooting people. A supporter sent me, it was a news clip where these cops in a place called Ister, I-S-T-E-R, and it didn't have the state, but it had the city, Ister, where these cops beat this man bloody. I mean, beat him so bad it was unbelievable. And they were caught on film bumping fists, celebrating what they had done, you know, talking trash. I mean, it was unbelievable. And this was after Freddie Gray, you know. I mean, they have no shame. No shame. Nothing is going to stop them except us. We are our own saviors, our own liberators. And if we are not willing to put it on the line, to stand up uncompromisingly and say, we ain't taking this no more, this has got to stop, it's going to stop, then it's not going to stop. I mean, if we don't respect ourselves enough, if we don't care enough about ourselves to take strong stands against this kind of abuse, why in the world would those running this system care at all? Why would they? You know, finally, it's not about them. It's not about the cops or elected officials. They have made it clear to us who they are and what they are and what their agenda is. The question is us. What are we going to do about it? That's the issue. You know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't publicize these examples and use them and all of that. But finally, talking about what they're doing is not going to solve the problem. The only thing that will solve the problem is when we do what's necessary to stop it, to solve the problem.
Okay. I completely agree. you know, the first step is taking ownership of our own destiny.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you think of the current? I know your views on working inside the system, but what do you think of the current political situation in Philadelphia in terms of the funding our schools and the issues that they're having, closing schools down and the overall condition of many of our schools? Could you address that for us?
Well, to me, these people running this system have made it clear that they don't care about educating our children. They talk that stuff. They mouth the words and tell people, stay in school, don't drop out of school, get a good education, you know, so you can get a good job and be somebody and all that. They mouth those words. But the fact that they're doing what you just outlined, closing schools right and left in the poor communities, communities of color, the fact that schools in these particular communities don't have the books and equipment and everything that is needed, you know, to have a decent school that is able to do what it's set up to do. The fact that that doesn't exist tells people, shows you clearly that you can't rely on these people. I mean, they're doing everything but slapping us in the face, you know, but literally slapping us in the face. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take until people start realizing and accepting so they can act on it that you cannot rely on these people. I mean, every week, every month, every year, things just get worse and worse, you know, in our communities for us. And people still hold on to the hallucination that this system is working for us, that we have to hold on to it. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to, you know, let go and say, look, I can do bad by myself. I don't need no elected official to help me do bad. I don't need no, you know, school board that is not doing anything for my kids. I don't need them, you know. I can do bad by myself. I don't need no help doing that, doing bad, you know. So I may as well take the reins, take responsibility, and work to do what needs to be done and stop relying on those that are clearly unreliable, you know, and that's with the school board. That's with passing legislation about cops having cameras on their uniforms, or, you know, I mean, all this nonsense is just that, nonsense, nonsense, you know. So people better wake up.
My final question, and then I'll turn the show back over to Ebony. My final question is... has to do with how connected are people with the history of MOVE and the events that happened 30 years ago. As you're being interviewed by all these different media outlets and speaking in public, are you finding people have knowledge of what really took place in 1979 and again in 1985? Or is it just become like a... Like I see some college students wearing a Mumia Bull shirt, but real no connection to his life.
Yeah. I do think that a lot of young people don't know and don't have any connection. I think that there are no doubt a great number of older people who were around in 78 and in 85, but who don't pass that knowledge on to their children and grandchildren. And I think that people have a tendency to disconnect, and they sympathize with moves. They truly believe and understand that what has happened to us and continues to happen to us, like the continued imprisonment of our sisters and brothers from 1978, they know that that is wrong, and they, you know, sympathize with us and will even do some things to support us. But that disconnect is there because they are misinterpreting that they are being asked or being pushed to do something for MOVE. We're saying do something for yourself. Do what's necessary to protect yourself, your family, your children, you know, because Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, you know, all of these people, they were not Michael Brown. They weren't MOVE people. They weren't MOVE members, you know. You can go back to Amadou Diallo in New York and the unending list of names of those assaulted and murdered even by police. They weren't MOVE members. There was the MOVE 9. There's Mumia. So you're talking about 10 people. There are at least 2.5 million people in prison across this country. They're not MOVE people, and they're not all in prison for what they were accused of. In fact, none of them are in prison for what they were accused of. But some of them have done things that they were accused of. But I'm still saying that's not why they're in prison. Our family is in prison, and Mumia is in prison for the accusation of murder, that they murdered somebody, a cop, you know. But the same police, you know, fraternal order of police, the same cops that want to call MOVE people and Mumia murderers, they dropped a bomb and murdered our family, burned our babies alive. How come they're not being called murderers? How come they're not sitting in prison for 30 to 100 years? How come they weren't sentenced to death row like Mumia was until we fought and fought and got him off of death row? You know? So that's why I say that the 2.5 million people in prison are not in prison because of whatever they were accused of. Prisons are a money-making institution and a means of trying to silence dissent and opposition, and that's what the system uses to try to intimidate people and to have a slave workforce, because the prisons don't run themselves. Prison guards and staff don't run the prisons for real. You know who keep the prisons operating? The inmates.
Right.
Who do you think unloads the trucks of, you know, supplies and stuff that comes in? Who does the cooking and cleaning up after meals? Who cleans the prison blocks, you know, that people live on? Who does all that? Not the guards.
Mm-hmm.
Who runs the laundry? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Inmates. But
they got
people hallucinating that these guards and prison officials have the power, that they run it. No, they don't. No, they don't, you know, so.
I read recently that one state is actually, one prison system, I think, in the Midwest, is actually suing the state because they don't have the population that was promised to them. This is one of them for-profit prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old enough to remember when Mumia had his own news show on WDAS. Do you remember that, Sister Africa?
Oh, yeah, he had his show.
And how powerful it was that it was almost independent of all the other news outlets. And although I won't go on the air, you know, my father shared with me the events of why he was arrested in the first place, and I don't think it's a story that many people even know. And so, you know, hopefully one day the truth of his circumstances and why he was placed in such harm's way will come out. But again, I'm going to thank you for coming on our show, and I'm turning the show back over to Ebony. And once again, you're talking to Charlie's son, ma'am, so this is really an honor. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, and your father really did support us and do things to, you know, help us, did all that he could do to help us.
Thank you, Sister Africa. Ebony?
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate that. Family, we are with Ramona Africa of MOVE. We will be actually joining her and the MOVE family this Wednesday, which is the day, the 13th, May the 13th, of the bombing. Drop the bomb on the MOVE family. We're having the 30th commemoration, the ceremony on Wednesday. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes,
Ramona,
indeed. I really will. And then I'm going to have to go. But
yes, ma'am.
Yes, May 13th marks 30 years since the bombing. And we have arranged activities throughout the entire day, basically, to commemorate what happened. Because what happened, we don't ever intend to let people forget what happened that day. You know, what this system showed everybody that day. The day will start with a rally at 62nd and Osage, where the bombing took place, and will include several Osage residents who are still there. There are not many that still live on that block, but there are a few, and several of them will be participating in the rally. Then at 12 o'clock, there will be a press conference there at the site. And after the press conference, people will be marching, jogging, skating, biking, car caravanning down to 37th and Chestnut Street. And there they will go into the University Lutheran Church, where they have given us space for food vendors, and people can get something to eat and to drink and, you know, recover a bit from their long day. We really encourage people to support the food vendors there. You know, they come out to support the community in different, you know, activities that happen in our communities. And so we really encourage people to support them. At 4 o'clock, we will be a block and a half away from where the food vendors are, the University Lutheran Church. We will be at 3801 Market Street, the First District Plaza, it's called, where we will have a program with speakers and performers. We have a filmed message from Angela Davis and from Alice Walker. They could not be here in person, but they wanted to participate in some way. So they had their messages filmed. They had themselves filmed sending their message to us and the people that will be at the program. There will be Dr. Cornel West there. There will be Dr. Ward Churchill there. Who else? Alton Maddox, activist attorney from New York, who represented a sister named Tawana Brawley when she was kidnapped and assaulted and raped and just totally abused by New York cops. Alton stepped up and represented her uncompromisingly and got disbarred. They tried to disbar him and says that he was disbarred and can't practice law. But he says that, you know, everything they did was illegal and that he is not really disbarred and he's fighting it, has been fighting it for over 20 years now. We will have our brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., who is the son of the assassinated well-known Black Panther, Fred Hampton, out of Chicago. We will have Amina Baraka, the widow of the late Amiri Baraka. She is a well-known spokesperson and poet in her own right. We will have Glenn Ford from the Black Agenda Report. We will have several Osage residents as part of the program. We'll have call-ins from our sister Janine Africa and our brother Delbert Africa, two of the Move Nine. They will be calling in. It's going to be a really, really great and inclusive program because we have a sister, indigenous sister who's coming down from Canada to, you know, show support and to speak. And I believe she's going to do one of their indigenous performances. We also have a sister from Palestine that has been doing support work for Palestine. She goes back and forth regularly from Palestine to New York. She lives in New York. And she's joining us to show, you know, the correlation between what's happening at the hands of this government over in Palestine and what's happening right here, the blatant assault, attacks, and out-and-out murder, you know. So it's going to be a wonderful program.
Please let the people
to come on out.
Yes, please let the people know how to get in touch with the Move family.
Okay. People can call me at 215-386-1165. Call me. I mean, I'm not hiding. I don't have assistants and gatekeepers to keep people from getting to me. I love people. You know, I am willing and able to talk to people personally, so call me and come on out May 13th. You won't be sorry.
And one more thing, your website. Let us hear the website.
Yes, our website is www.onamove, that's onamove.com, onamove.com.
Well, we thank you, Mama Mona, for coming through. We appreciate
you. Thank
you
for having me and reaching out to me. You know, that's good. It makes us feel good. Like, you know, our voices, our example is being heard and seen, and that people want to help spread that information.
Definitely, and it will never be forgotten, ever.
Okay, I appreciate that. So take care, stay strong, long live the spirit of resistance, long live revolution, long live John Walker. On the move.
On the move, thank you. We will see you on Wednesday.
All right, on the move.
All right, peace, queen. Family, that was Ramona Africa of the Move family when the Philadelphia Police Department in 1985 dropped a bomb on the Moore family. They are having their 30th commemoration of that event in Philadelphia, starting at 11 a.m., excuse me, 12 noon, the rally at 62nd and Osage Avenue. You can go on to Facebook and just type in MOVE, and you'll see all the information on the event page if you missed anything, or you can just listen to the rebroadcast of Catharsis on Is That Jazz Radio. We thank you so much for tuning in. I know it was a little late, and we appreciate all the listeners and the family and supporters of Is That Jazz Radio. The Black Perspective will be covering the whole 30th commemoration event on Wednesday. So please check out the Black Perspective on Facebook, because we will have footage from this historical event. Until next time, until we meet again, peace and love.